And I'm going to ask a question because these things come up in the scripture. And see if anyone knows, how much is 10,000 talents?
An enormous amount.
Right, an enormous amount. And how much is 100 denarii?
A little amount?
A little amount. They're very bright children in this church. That's right. The talent is so enormous that it's the highest, 10,000 talents, the highest amount of money they had in those days, the highest number they had, and talents were the highest bills, if you will, that they had. Like, what do we have? $1,000 bill? Something like that. Anyway, if we had $1 million bill, it'd be that. So I'll read to you the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew 18, beginning to read at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered him that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him.
Be patient with me, I will repay everything.
The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him.
Pay back everything.
His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him,
be patient with me and I will pay it back.
But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in.
You wicked servant. I've canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?
In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from the heart. May the Lord bless unto our hearts this reading of his holy and inspired word. I said I thought this translation made better sense because it says servants instead of slaves. This man who owed him 10,000 talents was no slave. He was a king's servant. So if we had a king and he ruled over the United States and he chose Governor Christie to be his servant in New Jersey, That's what it's like. And in this day and age that we're reading about, the servant was over, say, New Jersey, and had a charge of all the money. And he was supposed to keep charge of this money without putting any in his pocket. But you know how politicians sometimes are, that they put some of the public money into their pocket. And evidently this guy was quite greedy. So when the king decided to settle accounts, he found that this guy had pilfered quite a bit of money, and he said, you're going to have to pay this back. And of course, it's an exaggeration. Jesus is deliberately exaggerating, making it the highest amount of money that could ever be paid by anyone, knowing it would be impossible for this servant to pay it back. Absolutely impossible. And of course, the servant, as you saw, fell on his knees, and the master, who was the king, forgave him of that huge, enormous debt and let him go. Isn't it amazing how wonderful this is? Because, you know, we too have a large debt to God, our Heavenly Father. He created us. That's enough, isn't it? And then every day, the scripture is implying, not here but in Romans, elsewhere, we add on to that debt. It is enormous, a huge debt. But God in His mercy chose to send His Son, Jesus, to earth to pay for that debt by His death upon the cross. And so when we confess our sin and do like that servant, fall on our knees and say, be merciful to me, forgive me for all that I have done. I put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And your Heavenly Father looks in love at you and says, I cancel all your debt. Unfortunately, there's another part to this parable. That's the one that's disturbing. The one servant, king's servant, forgiven of all the huge debt, goes to a fellow servant who owes him a week's wages of a laborer. Some say $20. Chokes him and puts him in prison until he pays all the debt. To pay this debt, it's possible. You know, his family may be able to pay the debt. The debt that the first servant had, impossible. Could not pay. The fellow servants are greatly distressed, go to the king and say, look what happened. Look what this guy did. And the king says, you should have forgiven him this debt after I forgave you of this enormous debt. So now you have to go to prison until you pay that debt. And the summary sentence is, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. So it's not, you're off, it's from the heart. How would that look like? Colson. What was his first name? Colson?
Charles
Colson of Watergate fame. Those of you who are too young to have experienced it know that during the Nixon administration, a group of people got together and broke into the Watergate hotel, and Colson was a part of it, so he had to go to prison. I'm not sure when this happened, but he read C.S. Lewis's book on Mere Christianity, and he became a Christian, and he got out of prison and had this burden upon his heart to minister to people in prison. And so he did that. He formed an organization and ministered to them for a long time. And one time he went to the prison for a graduation from one, he had like a course that lasted a year and a half for prisoners to change their life in Jesus Christ. And so at the end of one of these courses, a prisoner was there whose name was Ron, and for 14 years he said, "I am not guilty, I did not murder this woman, this young woman that they say I murdered." But during a part of this course, he broke down, confessed, "I murdered her." Colson got him and the mother of the daughter that he murdered together. Now, mind you, not only was her only daughter murdered, taken away from her, but her husband and her son went into deep depression after this, and they both died. So she was alone. For 14 years, she wrote to the parole board, said, "Don't let him out, ever." But then God was working in her life to forgive him. And Colson got the two of them together, and they just blurted out everything to each other. And the young man, Ron, was going to read a speech to her, threw it aside, and in a great deal of emotion said, "What can I do to repay this horrible thing I have?" And Mrs. Washington was her name. She could tell that he was a new person in Christ. And she said, "What you can do for me is get out of here and live a productive life. And it would give me great joy if you would consider me your second mother." At the graduation ceremony in this prison, there were a lot of people there who knew that Mrs. Washington's daughter had been killed by Ron. And they were gasping when she went up as he received his diploma, put her arm around him, and said, "This is my adopted son." I'll ask Ray to say a few words.
It's me again. So when I found out what Frank was going to do this sermon on today, I wanted to share something with you from my personal journey. little bit of a testimony. Going back about 4 years ago, God had really gotten a hold of my heart. I see you shaking your head there, so I'll get a little closer to the microphone. So, but God really got a hold of my heart, and my journey totally changed at that point. But there was one point when I was driving down to the house we were building in Egg Harbor Township, and I was listening to a teaching by Derek Prince, and he started talking about these increments of money. And it just kind of clicked in my mind that this is just insanity to hold on to unforgiveness. And God's holding an unfathomable amount of money. Some people say 17 million. I read one thing, one person said it's almost just short of $1 trillion that he's holding on to, which is what we owe him through the dead works that we are serving in our lives. And it just came down to, wait a minute, this is just foolishness. You don't need to be an accountant to figure this out. We're talking about a little unforgiveness that I have versus $1 trillion worth of unforgiveness. So it just when I was driving down, I just felt convicted. You know, I'm just going to go through my mind, and anything that I can think of that I have to forgive anybody for, I'm going to do it. I'm going to let it all go, whatever it is. I'm going to let it go. And I want to tell you, by the end of that day, I felt like beforehand, like there was a ton of weight sitting on my shoulders, ton of weight. But after I had got done doing that, it just changed everything. I felt free. I felt loose. And I just felt like I had been totally let go of such a heavy burden that I was carrying my entire life. And I was building as things would happen in my life. And you hold on to these resentments and you hold on to these grudges. And I just felt like it's gone now. That wasn't it. About a year later on, a year and a half later on, I was sitting during a conference in Georgia. And God got a hold of my heart again. He said, you know, there's still something there. So I found myself in a cabin at this conference with a piece of paper before me. And now we're talking about big debts. We're talking about people that owed some serious money here. Not $1 million, not $50,000, but it was a pretty significant amount of money. I found myself on a piece of paper writing down names and writing down amounts below it or what things were. And then as I went down this list, I wanted to make sure that I spoke it into creation. I recognized the fact that those did exist because they did. People had done those wrongs by me. They had done those things. And I went down that list. Crossed them out, and I said, this person, XYZ person, is released from this. And I set them free. And I went through a whole page worth of people, and I let them all go. This is a day where we can make that choice. I mean, we talk about the spiritual ramifications, but those ramifications are here too. And there's a heavy burden that we carry when we carry that. But it's a choice, and we can let it go. And we can forgive others. But it is a choice that we have to make to do it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the word that has been spoken, that it may do wonders in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name.